There's a whole lot going on in the world today that's causing a whole lot of Christians to fall. And the reason why Christians are falling is the battle's fierce, really fierce. And the battles, and the people never got themselves, they either go too far to the left or too far to the right. They never find the happy medium in the middle. And so when something comes along, they just take it and run with it, you know, and then they find it, oh, well, okay, let's just put it this way. If God prophesied a word to you, and because you're not a level person, because you either go to one extreme or to the other, when God prophesies something to you, and it doesn't, and you just go all hog wild with it, which you should. But you have to have that happy medium when you're going hog wild. All right? And so when things don't come the way you thought they would, then there goes the air out of your bubble, and it's all bursted, and you don't know what's going on. God's always told me that the body of Christ does not know how to get on an even keel. They either go too far to the right or too far to the left. They can't find that happy middle ground. And so I said, well, God, how am I going to do this? And he said, just tell them. So I'm just telling you, you have to find that happy middle ground. You just get too far to the left and too far to the right. All right, so, all right, I know that God heals, and I know he performs miracles, and I know he can do what he wants to do. I found out through the years he doesn't heal everybody. And so if you're one that believes that God heals everybody and he doesn't, and then the first time he doesn't, then you're just going to go all to pieces. Well, why didn't this happen? You know, God is God. I have found over the years God is God. God's going to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. And he always has a reason why he does what he does. And so please don't let that burst your bubble, that he doesn't do what you think he should have done. Because sometimes I have found this out, just like when I raised the one man, I prayed and God raised one man from the dead. You know, God told me, he said, he won't serve me. But because you have such faith to believe that I can raise him from the dead, he raised him three times. And he said, daughter, I've got to take him because he'll come and be with me. But if I don't take him right now, if you don't let go of him, let me take him right now, he won't come to heaven. And so, he said, it's your choice where you want to end up at. And, so I had to make a choice. And even though I know that God will now raise people from the dead, that's not always the best. It's not always the best. The other guy that I prayed for and God raised from the dead, he said, I didn't want to come back. And he sent a message to his son when he came back. He said, tell her to quit praying. Because I have to stay here as long as she's praying. God has to honor her prayer. So, some people just don't want to come back. And so we're really, all right, so what are we doing this for? Are we doing this to see the dead raised because they have more work for God to do? Or I don't know why I'm saying this, but you need to latch on to this. Or are we praying for somebody to raise from dead to show what you can do? Yeah. I raised the dead. No, you always have to remember, no, you didn't. Your faith and your prayers, but you didn't do the raising. Amen. And when God raised the dead dog, now that's a different story. I don't know if he wanted to come back or not, but God did bring him back. But but I also, as I was praying for this dog, it was something for me to latch on to because I felt my faith getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And it just like exploded inside of me and the dog came back to life. So that was a sign to me that as my faith got stronger, the prayers were more powerful and God brought that dog back to life. So, and God is going to be doing the great wonders and great signs, wonders and miracles that he promised and great healings and are going to be manifested. And God said, I'm going to do so much more, daughter, than the body of Christ can even imagine. So, let's just go with the flow. Don't get in doubt and unbelief. Let God be God. Let him do what he wants to do. All right, let's just take this other gentleman that we know. His wife, God prophesied to him and her would go around the world, and minister the gospel and this and that and the other. And she died. But see, I was called to their house before she died, and when I got there, I mean, the angels were in the room. The glory of God was so strong in that room. And a voice said to me, she's been in with me, and she does not want to stay here. He said, but all your prayers are keeping her here. And so I said to her, I called her by name, and she said, yeah. And I said, you've been in heaven, haven't you? She says, yes, I have. And that was what she said, Brother Chris. And I says, and God's telling me, you don't want to be here. You want to be in heaven with him, no matter what he promised you. And she said, that's right. And I said, well, we're going to let you go. Because to me, that was praying totally against her will. And so then I was called there 2 days later. As far as I was concerned, this woman died that day. And then they told me that when we was called her a couple of days later, and they said that I know that she'll come back. And we were standing in there, and God said, daughter, she's with me. You can sit and pray all night if you want to, but she's with me. So I said to Chris and my husband, come on, let's go. We're finished here. I was told after we left, somebody asked her, if you're with us, raise your hand. And God let her come back one time to raise her hand. But she was already gone. Her spirit was already in heaven. See, I know when it's over. And I walk away. You know, if God said it's over. Why stand there and pray? They were upset with me because I left. But, you know, I was just standing there just mouthing words that didn't mean anything. And I was talked about a bit because of that, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't worry about it. God already spoke to me. God already told me what was going on, and I don't care what you have to say. God said it all. Amen. Sometimes we labor in vain. The thing's already done with. And you can keep praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and nothing in this world is going to change what God has already finished. All right. See, you have to understand this. If you're really going to be effective working for God, you're going to have to know his voice. You're going to be walking the Spirit with him so close that you know he tells you everything. You know his heart. He tells you exactly what's going on. And don't worry about man and woman. They don't mean anything. It's God that you're working with, right? It's God you're working for. And as long as you're keeping yourself right with him and hearing his voice, then whatever you're doing, then it is godly. And it's what God wants. You know, I went to the young man of God, said, if you let him go now, he'll come to be with me. When I went to his funeral, that was awful. I said to his brother, I said, I know if I go up there and pray with him, he'll come up out of that casket. He said, yes, he will, but you stay right here in the seat. God's already told you he won't serve him if you do it. He said, I know God will honor your prayer. And he held me down in my chair. He said, you can't do this. Everything in me, because of my faith and what I read in the Word and what I've already seen, wanted to go back up there. I didn't want that. He was a young man. He had so much potential. I didn't want to see him die. But see, I don't care how much potential he had. He was never going to reach. He was never going to do it. He was married to an atheist who did not want to see him live. She prayed him dead. And so God took him to save him. Some people you might be trying to save just for your own greed, because you don't want to lose them. You let go of them. Just let go of them. My mother hung on for about a year, and then finally one day I walked into the, you know, I had her at my home, but then she went into the hospital because her kidneys gave up on her. And I went in there, and she said, she looked at me with them, never said a word, just looked at me, and there was all that love in her eyes. And I said, Mom, you can go ahead and be with the Lord. She said, really? And she died just like that. But I had to let go of her. She was staying alive for me. You know. And I was being selfish. My mother was the best person in the world as far as I was concerned. And I didn't want to lose her. So what are you really praying for? Why are you praying these things? Are they selfish prayers? Are they prayers just to see what you can do? are the really godly prayers. It doesn't matter how young anybody is. It doesn't matter what God spoke over their life. If they're not going to fulfill that, then it's best they go on and be with the Lord. Why keep them here and have them go to hell? I know people, God said it's up to them where they end up when they die. They know right from wrong, and they don't know when they're going to die. And so if they're going to go out there and dab one sin, and they die, then they're going to go to hell. Are you understanding that too? So all the praying in the world isn't going to get them to heaven, because they know right from wrong, and they're making their own choice every day. Because you never know when you're going to die, do you? Don't tear yourself, I'm telling you, it's because you're going to know, have to know this. Don't tear yourself apart because you know somebody might die and go to hell. That's their choice, not yours. Are you understanding that? Everybody makes their own choices every day. You know, people sit in the house of God year after year after year, but they still want that lust. They still want that perversion. They still want that thing that Satan gives them to satisfy them. You cannot change a person. Like God told me, who do you think you are? Do you think you're God? If my Holy Spirit can't change you, what makes you think you can change them? So think about that. If they're not changed by the Holy Spirit, then why do you think you can change them? See, I used to always think if I prayed long enough and hard enough and did this and did that, you know, that I could change them. You can't change them. So I hope you just let go of people. You'll say, God, I've done all I can. Because God said to me, daughter, you've done all you can do. What more do you think you can do? Give them over to me and let me handle them. And so I finally said, they're yours, God. And I had a peace. The burden was lifted. I'm watching them still headed down the wrong road, but I can't do anything about it. So what are you holding on to? Why are you holding on to it? Well, if I just do this one more time, if I just do that one. No. You've done all you can do, and they're making their own choices. All right? So I want you all just to understand that you're only a vessel that God works through. You're not God. And if you're going to go around raising the dead, then make sure you listen to God's voice. Does he really want them raised? Remember, he told me about that young man. He said, decision is yours. If you want me to bring him back again, I will. Well, if you want me to let him stay here, he hadn't died at that time. But if you'll let go of him, then I'll take him. And when I said I let go of him, he said, at 5 o'clock, you get a phone call saying he died. At 5 o'clock, well, I got a phone call saying he passed away. So see, God even, you know, God might give you the choice like he did me. It's up to you whether they live or die. What do you want to do with them? So if you keep them, why are you keeping them? Amen. Why did Jesus raise Lazarus? He was his friend. He left him dead for 4 days, right? And when he brought Lazarus forth, did Lazarus do a work for him? Yes, he did. There was a purpose for Lazarus dying and coming back to life. You know, if God brings people back to life, there's a purpose for it all. But, you know, I know too many people. Well, because I gave my testimony of how God used me to raise the dead, then people come to me expecting me to raise the dead. And when it didn't happen, then you're not a person of God. So don't let people, and we went, didn't we? We went and really prayed and prayed and prayed. And God's told us, I'm not going to raise them. But we went anyhow, didn't we? Right to the funeral home and prayed and prayed, and God did not raise that. There was a reason for that, because the man would not repent. And then people said, well, I thought you was woman. I thought you. Then they called and said, I want you to come pray for my cat. My cat just died. So watch what your testimony is. Come on. There was a purpose for God raising that dog. You know? Just because God raised a dog from the dead, you know, if it's your prayers, doesn't mean he's going to raise every animal in the world from the dead. All right? I had a demon-possessed cat. I prayed him dead. You know, he didn't die. But I wanted him dead. He was demon-possessed. So anyhow, I don't know why God's had me tell you all this tonight, but maybe some of you are going to be confronted with this kind of thing, and you have to really learn discernment. And don't go in there just... All right, well, I'll just say this one other thing, because it popped in my mind. My little niece, she was in a car accident. And when she was in a car accident, she went under a little Debbie truck. And when they got to her, she'd been, you know, the oxygen from her brain was shut off for a while. And so when she, we prayed and prayed, and, you know, I sent clothes that I wore to her and everything else, and went to, made the trip there to Virginia where she sat and prayed for her, and God raised her up. He raised her up. But she couldn't talk, and she was a little bit crippled. Well, then her mother sent her out to me from Virginia here and said, I know if she stays with you that God will raise her, you know, heal her totally and completely. Well, we were sitting in the, we was in the church service one day, and the anointing was really super strong, so I went back, and God led me back to pray for her. Now, this you have to listen to and remember it. And I was, we had already dismissed church, and I was down on the floor praying for her to be totally healed. And I felt my faith really growing. Just as God was ready to raise her up, I looked up, and well, I heard the people. Oh, that's why you need to shut up when people's praying for somebody in church. Go outside. But I heard all the people talking, and I looked up. Not a soul was interested in that girl except me. And this is what I did. Don't ever do this. I said, well, they don't care. Why should I? And I got up. She's still crippled and can't talk to this day. But I know in my spirit that God was right at the point of healing her totally and completely. And I let the world come in and steal her healing. I've apologized to her over and over again, but that doesn't help her, you know. So please don't do that. If you're ministering with somebody and the people around about you don't care, that doesn't affect you at all. It's you. It's your faith. It's you and God praying for something. Amen. All right. I'm going to talk tonight about three steps to winning the battle in your mind. The time we live in is unlike any the world has ever known. And guys, it's going to get worse. We can call it the age of terror because in this season, fear has launched a massive assault on mankind or on the children of God. I have never heard so many people being, I'm so fearful. Well, then you're not really, you don't know your Father. If you walk in fear, you don't know your Father. But the outward threats are nothing compared to the inner turmoil with which many struggle. Warfare in both the natural and the spiritual realms is taking place on a scale the church has never experienced. Will we be overcomers or will we be overcome? The actual battleground is not a geographic location. It's in our minds that the fiercest battles take place. Hebrews 12:3 says, encourages us to consider the opposition Jesus endured from sinful men so that we do not become wearied and faint in our minds. And this is Satan's objective when he gives you the battlefield, you know, fights you in your mind. And book after book after book has been written about the battlefield of the mind. God has been preparing you to win the battle of the mind. God has been preparing you to win the battlefield of the mind. He doesn't want you to grow weary and lose heart. If you lose this battle, you will be easy prey to any form of terror. But if you consider Jesus and put his word first in your life, you will discover scriptural keys that will make you victorious in this hour. This is why it's so important that you get in your word. I see the victors in this battle crossing over a new threshold into a greater dimension of God's glory and power. See, the ones who do not walk in fear and who win the battlefield of the mind are the ones that God will truly use in this end time dispensation. Because he'll be able to trust you. Because he knows you just are never going to go into fear. They will experience the church's finest hour of spiritual authority and massive harvest. It's important for us to win this battle in our mind. Double weariness. The enemy's plan in this age of terror is to cause severe mental exhaustion. Wearied and faint are two words for the same condition, but the author here in what was it, Hebrews? The author in Hebrews, placing them side by side in the same sentence indicates an intensity that we can call double weariness. It produces discouragement, anxiety, and depression in God's people. And I believe that we can all say that we have been there, or still go there, and might even be there tonight. The battle in the mind. Those who are mentally weary may become incapable and useless. And not maybe, but they will. An exhausted mind can't make a decision, communicate, or help anyone else. An exhausted mind can't make a decision, communicate, or help anyone else. You can be so mentally tired that you become physically sick. Now, how many of you sometimes, so many things are going on, and just say a telephone call comes. You say, I just cannot take that call right now. I've got to go somewhere and get myself quiet. Get my mind quiet so I can concentrate on what I'm doing. The tactic of the enemy is to bombard your mind until you are so exhausted spiritually that you lose your grip. Doesn't that happen? Then you will relinquish all the spiritual territory you have gained. The primary weapon used against your mind in this age of terror is voices. I'm teaching on this because I'm having this battle. All right? And I know that everybody, a lot of other people are too, and you need to know what's going on. The primary weapon used against your mind in this age of terror is voices. Voices will bombard you till you give in to them. A lot of times you do deliverance, they'll say, the voice tells me to do. You know, little Gabriel says, Mama, my voice keeps telling me, you know. So, you know, we know that's a spirit, but still, no, and he says, I'm not going to do what this voice tells me to do, but it keeps telling me to do it. Once they get a foothold, your mind will become doubly weary. Soon you will fall prey to a weakened mind. Voices of the world around you are speaking constantly to anyone who will listen. What's God tell you to do? Close your ears to the voices of the world. Isn't that what he tells us? Thousands of voices shout at you every day through the news media. I don't even look at the news. It's a bunch of lies. I mean, things are happening, but they put too much into it. Other distracting voices include those of friends and family members who don't understand your commitment to Jesus and who want to persuade you to take a compromise stand. Right? Then there are the voices in the spirit realm. Using the most outrageous statements, they can badger your mind until mental exhaustion begins. All these voices from the natural and the spiritual realms are potentially harmful. But the most powerful weapon we will ever have to fight against will be the voice of us. You hear that? Have you ever noticed how often you talk to yourself? Sometimes I'm sitting there and Brother Allen's singing in between songs, he's talking to himself. I'm thinking, Alan, what are you saying back there? You know? Not only do we think a lot of thoughts that can bring on mental fatigue, we also speak a lot of negative things out loud. I found myself the other day just thinking the same thought over and over. I thought, why am I thinking this thing? You just kept coming. And I was working or something, you know, you're busy, right? Then all of a sudden you realize the same thought's been going over your mind for an hour. No one else is around, so we have no excuse. We have to admit we're talking to me. Remember what I'd say up there? I said, not only do we think a lot of thoughts that can bring on mental fatigue, we also speak a lot of negative things out loud. Brother Larry's real famous for talking to himself. Out loud, you know. And he's not the only one. A lot of other people do that. I do that at times. I get so distraught that I just start, what I'm thinking, I just start saying out loud. Then like, why am I even talking out loud? Nobody's around to even hear me. I'm just talking. Have you ever done that? Many times you would be you will be bombarded by voices. Usually they speak words to disqualify you. You're only a woman. How many times have you women heard, and you know, and this would be men too, how many times has the devil said that? How's God going to use? You're only this, you're only that. You've done this or you've done that, right? You can't preach. This is the voice. You can't preach. Who do you think you are trying to minister to people? The voice says, okay, so you've had a messed up day. Now you're going to go out there and be holy. Right? You will gain a real victory when you realize those voices were neither the devil nor man telling you that you could not minister. They were you speaking to you. God can never use you again. That was you speaking. Yeah, it was you thinking that. You will gain a real victory when you realize those voices were neither the devil nor men telling you that you could not minister. They were you speaking to you. Don't just cope, conquer. It is time to stop simply coping with the voices that you create mental weariness and battle fatigue. God is calling us to conquer in the battle for our minds. We need to heed Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of your mind. Some of us need to renew our minds every day, don't we? I'm quite sure if you're like me, sometimes during the day you'll say, devil, get out of my mind. That's not the mind of Christ. You know, make him leave. Because he's in there just trying to make you go hysterical. Right? And like I said too, sometimes it's you rehearsing what you would like to say. How many of you have you rehearsed over and over in your mind what you would like to say? And you go to bed and you wake up, you're still rehearsing what you would like to say. Next day you're still rehearsing what you would like to say, and finally you say, get out of here. Mind shut down. I'm not even going to think of that. It's not the devil. It's you. There's something inside of you that you haven't quite conquered yet. So then it starts in your mind. You start talking about it to yourself. Have you ever renovated an old house? You don't just put a fresh coat of paint on the walls, install new light fixtures, and lay down new carpet. Often you have to gut the entire thing. Sometimes tearing down old walls and peeling off hundreds of layers of wallpaper. Then you can tackle the more fun task of choosing a color scheme and new appliances. It's the same way with our minds. To renew them, we have to remove the old thought patterns before the new ones can be laid. Now, you know what you have to do here. It's saying sometimes you have a problem in your life and you haven't dealt with it. So what you do is you rehearse that thing over and over and over again. That's an old thought. You're going to have to get rid of that old thought pattern before you can move on to anything new in God. You're just going to have to get rid of it. It's not that simple. You have to fight. You're in a battle. You have to fight, and you have to hold the word up, you know, to yourself even. And you know, and don't let the enemy get in there. And I'm not even going to say the enemy, because sometimes the enemy is you. It's just you. Things that you've rehearsed over and over and over again. Your relationships. Now, where am I at? The world. Yeah. The world exerts a very powerful influence that touches every area of our lives, does it not? Letting the voices of the world dictate your thought life will soon produce outward results. Your relationships, your finances, and even your body can be affected. You can become so mentally exhausted that you become a casualty of the war. A mind conformed to the world is a weary, faint mind. But a mind being renewed by God's word will be progressively renovated until you are conformed to the image of Christ. You know what you need to do? What I have to do when I get everybody in bed, I just go down and sit in front of my computer, pull up the Bible, start reading the word, because I need to renew my mind. Because it's a mess after all day. Amen? And see, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to take the initiative to do that. Nobody else can do that for you, and God's not going to do that for you. You know, and sometimes I'm praying for you, and God tells you that he's renewing your mind. Receive that renewal of your mind. He said, I'm removing the old and I'm bringing in the new. Let him do that to you. You leave here and say, well, I still think the same old thoughts. Well, quit. God renewed my mind when I was in church, and I'm not going to receive these dumb thoughts anymore. So you're going to have to do your part too. You know, when you make statements like that, people say, well, I thought if you spoke it, it's going to, and you have faith it's going to happen. It is. But Saint, some of people just want to sit around and be lazy. You know, the Bible says we're going to have to fight. And the Bible doesn't lie. We're going to have to do our part. The transformation process, the process of transformation is exciting. But there are three steps you must take for it to occur. Number one, allow God's word to set you apart and discipline you. Number two, set your mind in the right place. And number three, consistently behold and reflect the Lord's glory. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17:17, sanctify or separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. You must let the word of God separate you from the voices of the world. The voices of the world are saying that the economy is crashing and you're going to not have anything to eat and blah, 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 blah. But God's word said he feeds the sparrows and he's going to feed you. Not worried about having 50 Tupperware boxes stacked in a corner somewhere with food in it. Like I said, a hurricane can come along and blow it away. A fire can take it away. And if you're doing that, fine. I do that every year. But still in all, if say a flood came along and took everything, I'm not concerned because God said, I'll take care of those who are walking close with me. Amen? And who do you believe? You believe the voice of the world or you believe the voice of God? Where am I at, Nancy? Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, two sisters described in the Gospels who were friends of Jesus, both had the opportunity to have their minds renewed. But the response to the word was different. You can read about that in Luke 10:38-42. Martha's mind was distracted and anxious about many things. Excuse me, sometimes that's me. Most of the time I'm a Martha. But Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus, the living word of God. Remember, Martha was out there cooking. Said, come in and said, Jesus, make her come out and help me cook. And he said, no, she's sitting at my feet. This is better. If I was her, I said, well, then good. You all can starve just because I'm going to sit at your feet too. That's what I would have said. If it's good for Mary, it's good for Martha, right? In doing this, Mary was setting herself apart as a disciple. Poor Martha. They all ate her food, I'm quite sure. Right? And that always bothered me. Still does. Jesus should have said in there, Jesus said, come on, Mary, you sit down too. We can fast today. Then tell us that, does it? A disciple is one whose mind is being disciplined and renewed. I tell my family, I quit cooking now, so if you're going to eat, you're going to do the cooking, saying so. I'm sitting at Jesus' feet. No, I don't say that. But I'm not going to cook no more, so they know that I'm not going to cook. And I cooked all my life, they can cook now, right? A disciple is one whose mind is being disciplined and renewed. Listen to that again. A disciple is one whose mind is being disciplined and renewed. That's what a disciple is. Mary was being transformed by sitting at the feet of the Word of God. As you obey the Word and choose to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, in Colossians 3:2, you'll become less and less conformed to the world's patterns and its voices. It is not a quick fix, but you will experience a progressive improvement in your mind. Ladies, as you get older, you're going to find it's very, very hard to keep your mind on God and keep your mind on keeping your house spotless. You're going to find out that you're going to have to make a decision. My house won't be as spotless if I'm going to, keep my mind stayed upon Christ. Something's going to have to go by the wayside. All right. If you have children to raise, I keep thinking that 64 year old woman, not old, but woman going to raise four kids. She's going to be, 64, 74, 84 by the time they're 20. She'll probably have gray hair by then. I lost my place. You will discover that the voices fade away and the Word of God takes preeminence in your mind. When you keep your mind stayed upon God, you'll start living 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Whenever the enemy comes to say, my wife's going to leave me, just say, my wife loves me. Or when your mind looks at a situation and says, oh, they're getting ready to leave me, say, oh, they're getting ready to love me more than they ever loved me. See what I'm saying? You're going to have to do something about those thought lives, not somebody else. God's plan is for you to win in this age of terror and start reflecting His glory more and more. God's plan is for you to win in this age of terror and start reflecting His glory more and more. Come on. There is a double cure for the doubly weary mind, the writer of Hebrews 12:3 warns about. So when you get home, you can read Hebrews 12:3. We read it beginning. Isaiah 26:3 and 4 contains a cure for this overwhelming mental fatigue. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. See that? Trust in the Lord forever, for in y'all the Lord is everlasting strength. So if your mind is not in perfect peace, I mean, if you are not in perfect peace and your mind is not stayed upon the Lord, in other words, you're not concentrated on the things that God has told you he's going to do for you. Your mind is stayed on something else other than what God has promised you. All right, so God said, your husband's going to die. I'm not going to tell you when he's going to die, but he's just going to die. Well, you don't every day sit and think, is this the day? Is this the second? Is this the hour? Am I going to wake up and he's going to be laying in bed dead? You don't do that. You go ahead and do the things you're supposed to do, and you go ahead and live a normal life, and when they die, they die. Amen? Come on. But we're so concentrated on when they're going to die that our minds are stayed on that, and it's not stayed on the things of God, and the enemy comes in there in the back door and does all kind of junk to you. Amen. The peace of God prevents your mind from giving in to fear and dread. A person who trusts the Lord has a steadfast mind. Here, the word for mind means more than just your ability to think. It includes your creative imagination. A person who trusts the Lord has a steadfast mind. So if you really trust the Lord, and you're not going to run around worried about every little thing that comes down the pike, or worried about things that might come down the pike, because your mind's going to be stayed upon God, and you're going to be just doing His work and doing His will, and whatever comes, comes, whatever doesn't, doesn't. That's simple. It's just that simple. Nothing complicated. See, that's what the body of Christ does. There's no common sense in the body of Christ. I'm sorry. There just isn't, is there? You older people in here like me, you know there's no common sense in the world, period. Just not in, there's just no common sense. People just go crazy. And they do things, I think, why did they do that? No common sense. Amen? In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, Adam and Eve heard only one voice. What does the Word of God say? My sheep know my voice, and my voice only will they follow, and no other voice will they follow. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, Adam and Eve heard only one voice, that of their Father God. Can you imagine how clear and steadfast their minds were? Nothing else clouding their minds. No voices anywhere. Didn't even know they were naked. You know, just happy. Their ability to think creatively as they managed the garden must have been phenomenal. Right? Why can't we think creatively? It's because we got too much junk in our mind. Too many things boggling our mind. And we need to quit that. Get our mind stayed on God and keep it there. Never, they're talking about Adam and Eve, never a mental block, never wanting to give up and let go of all God had given them. That is not until the voice of the serpent disrupted their peace by planting questions in their minds. So if all of a sudden your mind is a whole bunch of questions in your mind, you know that the enemy is in there working overtime. Amen? Come on. And you're going to have to do something about it. You're going to kick him out. Don't listen to what he has to say. Or if it's you, then you tell yourself to shut up, right? Many Christians have a hard time thinking creatively and are unable to find solutions to their own problems, let alone come up with ways to reach others around them. Instead of fighting petty battles in yourself, your home, or your finances, you need to be set free to use your creative imagination. God can give you strategies to touch cities and entire nations. When you trust in the Lord, your mind will be kept in perfect peace and your creative juices will flow. And I can tell you one thing right now, that I have been so bombarded with other voices, you know, people around me, that sometimes I just go like this. I thought, gee, how can they live with all this confusion? And what I'm saying, it comes to you. That confusion comes from them to you. And you just think, how can they live like this day in and day out, walking in such darkness and such confusion? No wonder they can't make clear decisions, because there's too much darkness there. And you have to be careful, because it will affect you. And when the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked, it means do not be unequally yoked. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're unequally yoked, you're in for a battle. Winners in the battle. The attack of double weariness has been battled and won by God's people for centuries. When David and his men found Ziklag burned and their families taken captive, the Bible tells us they wept until they had no strength left. If you read that story, that's what it tells you. David's little men turned on David in bitterness and wanted to stone him to death. That's there too. These little men, all right? The Bible shows how David resisted the attack. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 said, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Come on, you know, when your friends come against you, oh, no, David didn't do that. David went to God and said, these people are going nuts, Lord. I need you to strengthen me. Amen? People you work with, and they go off half-cocked somewhere, you know, and you think, what happened to their mind? They all went crazy on me. God, you have to be here. You have to be the one I can talk to. You have to be the one that strengthens me. Because everybody else has went off someplace else in their mind. The battlefield always starts in your mind. Remember Perry Stone said he chokes himself. He won't let anything go from his mind to his heart that's not of God. He chokes himself till he gets it out of there. Probably some of us, we'd have to bury us, wouldn't we? We've always choking ourselves, right? As David chose to trust the Lord, God's double peace strengthened him. He sought God, won the battle, and recovered all. He could have got all messed up. All these men are trying to kill me, and he could have went off on a big tangent and got himself all messed up, but he didn't. He sought God, won the battle, and recovered all. How many of you sitting in here tonight, you can say honestly, there's been times that you've had such a battle around about you that you just had to stop and seek God? And then as you sought him, you know, he brought you your peace, and then you won the battle. Amen. Because if you went down the road you was going, just, you know, holding on to what was going on around about you or getting involved in them, you wouldn't have made it. But you had to stop. You had to let go of them, and you had to seek God for yourself. The great Old Testament prophet Elijah won a huge battle against Jezebel. He always tears me up when I read this. Won a huge battle against Jezebel and her false prophets. He should have rejoiced and basked in the victory. Instead, when Jezebel threatened to kill him, Elijah gave into mental weariness. We do that too. Come on. Exhausted by the constant mental battle, he asked God to let him die. Been there, done that. Amen. Come on. He needed another voice to silence the threats of Jezebel. What he needed was God's voice. Come on, guys. We're no different than Elijah. We just see God perform great miracles in the church, right? He knocks you out the spirit and he takes you off somewhere and does great things to you. Get up, go out there, and somebody says boo, and you go off half-cocked and act crazy. You just forget everything that God did for you. That's why whenever you leave here, you should not say nothing to nobody. You shouldn't stand back there and giggle and carry on about things. You should quietly get up, get in your car, and stay quiet the whole way home and crawl in bed and just let that glory, whatever God did to you, let it just marinate all night long in you. I used to do it all the time. I wouldn't talk to nobody, nothing. Boy, I just leave and I just get in that car, and my daughter, her and I went together. She knew not to talk to me, and I would just bask in that the whole way home, just go to bed and not talk to nobody. You know, You destroy the anointing when you sit around and just chit-chat. Chit-chat some other time. What did God mean when he said, I don't care what he meant? You just needed to go home and just marinate in what God has said to you, and just let him explain to you what he just said to you. I don't know what he said to you. I don't even know even talk to you most of the time because he just up and just uses my voice and just goes off. So, you know, but say, go to him and say, God, why did you say that through her? What was you trying to tell me? He'll eventually tell you. Or you'll find out on your own. Okay, where am I at here? Okay. All right, so I said, exhausted by the constant mental battle, Elijah asked God to let him die. He'd need another voice to silence the threats of Jezebel, which would be God's voice. And God's voice came in a gentle whisper, bringing him hope and direction. And as the voice of the Lord came to Elijah, the double weariness left him, and he received his marching orders to fulfill his destiny. You can read that when you come in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 16. God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Then Elijah poured out his little sympathy story, didn't he? God said, get up. I have more than just you. Why do we always think I'm the only one left? I'm the only one being persecuted. Get out of here, guys. This may be the age of terror, but it is not a time for you to be discarded, discouraged, or dismayed. God has a destiny for you. Say that again. This may be the age of terror, but it's not a time for you to be distracted, discouraged, or dismayed. God has a destiny for you. We've all been there. We've all been distracted, discouraged, and dismayed. But we're still standing, so we must have come through it, right? So don't sit here and think that I'm not pointing my finger at you, because right now all my fingers are pointing at me. Because like I said, we're being fought like we've never been fought before. If you're a prophet of God, if you're a leader of any type and God's using you and he's going to use you even greater, you're being fought like you wouldn't believe. Sometimes you think, God, the heat is so hot. Amen. Come on. Are you really with me, Lord? Well, you know he's there, but we say these dumb things, right? God, I think I bit off more than I can chew, or else you bit off more for me than I can chew. No, I didn't. You can do this thing. Might not want to, but you can. So be honest with yourself. You can do it. You just don't want to. Why don't you want to? Because it's going to take up some of your time, your precious little time. You're going to have to suffer. People are going to draw on you. People are going to use you. And you've had enough of that. Well, then think about Jesus when he was dragging that cross. Don't you think he had enough before he ever had to carry that cross? He didn't throw the cross down and say, forget you, did he? And I think about how Jesus was beat so terribly just because the men enjoyed being demonic. And then they had to do that nail thing yet on the cross. And they weren't gentle with it and slam that thing on his head. But he still did it. He still did it. And he did not complain. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to let that go through our brain. Instead of kill them, Lord. Get them out of my sight, Lord. All right, they're going to die. Kill them tonight, Forgive them, Lord. They do not know what they do. If they're coming against you and you have those kind of thoughts, you need to start saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. But I got to tell you something else. One time somebody was doing something and I kept praying for them. And this was years ago when I was first saved. And I kept saying, God, forgive them. They don't know what to do. And God said, don't ever say that again. And that's the way he said it. And I said, he said, they know exactly what they're doing. They're planning this thing out every day. This man was a whoremonger and he was running. And God said, don't ever tell me that they don't know what they're doing, because they do. I'm not going to forgive them until they repent. So you might hear that voice too, but don't let it be your voice. I have to be careful what I say, because you guys are dumb sometimes. You take what I say, Pastor Barbara said, I can do this. No, now take it in the right context that it was said. All right? Come on. But the voices of the world, the devil, and yourself will continually harass you unless you say no to terror's voice. Sister Nancy, she would never ride in the back seat of a car. She's scared to death riding, but now doesn't know why. But you overcame it, right? Good. She finally that was fear, total fear. She could not get in the back seat of anybody's car. I think she just wanted to be important, sitting in the front seat, don't you? But she had to work at overcoming that, see? Like, just like I had a fear of heights, you know, if I almost get up, I couldn't get down. I had to overcome that. Amen. I was walking home from school one night when I was just a young kid, about 10, 11 years old, and we climbed a cherry tree that was no bigger than Brother Larry. I got up the tree and couldn't, and scared to get up. My brother kept saying, come on, we're going to be late. We're going to get spanked. Get down out of the tree. And my father had to come get me. I really got spanked. But in the meantime, I was trying to get out and I fell out and tore my dress, my one and only dress. So I had double problems there. I had torn my dress and didn't have a dress to wear, and I was going to get a spanking, which I did. Because he said, you know you aren't supposed to climb a tree because you're afraid. Don't ever do it again. So you see, fear got me into trouble. My dress was torn and I got a spanking. Fear. I was just little then and didn't know I should be fearful. Okay, where am I at? It's time to silence the other voices and let the renovation process begin. I want you to do that tonight. If you have been living a mentally defeated, exhausted life, the double cure is for you. Choose the better thing as Mary did and submit to the discipline of the Word of God. Set your mind on things above. Spend time daily reflecting on Jesus, and soon you'll be reflecting His glory from the inside out. Then the double peace of God will guard and keep you in all your ways. Instead of double weariness, creativity will abound and thoughts of terror and dread will be far from you, and you have double victory. Right now, my mind's being so bombarded, I can't even think to even get a message together. I had to fight and fight and fight to even do that. So see, I'm being honest with you, and I'm telling you this battle of the mind is going on. Years ago, we taught about the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind has come back stronger than ever. And the enemy is going to wear you out. And so you're going to have to get in the Word of God and get the peace of God. I actually have to get up out of bed. I don't know how many times I go out and read the Bible to even get my mind to straighten out while I'm trying to go to sleep. Don't some of you have that sometimes? Your mind just goes crazy. And it really isn't the devil, it's you. You still have the thoughts of the day in your mind, and just keep rehearsing them over and over and over again. Or something somebody said to you, and you just keep rehearsing that thing, and this is what I'm going to do because they did this. And quit that. That's not godly. You should never rehearse what you're going to do. If we're walking in the Spirit, then we just walk in the Spirit and let God do what He wants to do. And if you're rehearsing what you're going to do or say to somebody, then you're not in the Spirit. You've gotten over into the carnal realm, and the devil's going to use your voice, all right, but not the way God wants it to be used. How many of you rehearse? Boy, when I see them, I'm going to bloop, 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 bloop. When you see them, say, hi, how are you? Because the Holy Spirit in you won't let you do what you just rehearsed. Wrap your arms around, say, I really do love you. I have a few people in my house that I say, when they get home... I might even do that because I don't do anything that I rehearsed all day. See, that's not of God, and we shouldn't do that. Just let it go. And when they get home, if God wants to say something, then He'll say it. Like tonight, you know, I didn't rehearse anything today. So tonight when somebody walked through the door, I said, hi, I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes. And it was all God, and everything went fine, you know, but all that stuff I rehearsed the day before, we'd have gotten such a battle, it wouldn't have ever stopped. Are you understanding this tonight, guys? It's all in your mind. Please don't let that happen. We have the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, does it not? Then let's get the mind of Christ, keep the mind of Christ, and quit rehearsing, letting the devil help you rehearse what you're going to say to somebody, because that's not godly. It's not.